Amir Unplugged, welcome to Akin Yemi's living room. Glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
How have your travels in LA been so far?
It's been really, really good. The difference between coming in last year versus coming in this year have been like night and day.
Where? What brought you out here to LA?
I came here to do different sessions. My goal is to try to work with a few producers who I've developed relationships with remotely.
Fire.
And then also to have some meetings with folks who could potentially help me just launch this further, you know?
Yeah. I love everything I've been seeing on your TikTok and Instagram. And
thank you.
It's really fire.
Likewise.
I just wanna know, as somebody who's trying to like get my vocals better, like, what's your warm up like? Like, how you warm your voice up? Like, cause it be sounding.
Man, thank you so much. I have been warming up with my dad. I always say he's my one and only vocal coach. But since I was a little kid, and we do an AEIOU cycle, we do E-R's, we do a lot of vowel things just to really open up your voice. What I would suggest is start with the easiest one first and build up so that you don't strain yourself.
Word. What's your next like release looking like, and like how have you been expanding your sound?
Yeah, so last year in November, I released my first song, which was Work Till the Morning. And it was a lot of fun, but it was really nerve-wracking because it's the first experience. It's a lot of piecemealing, you know how that goes. And I realized that before releasing like a third thing, I wanted to take a step back and define the spaces that I'm in and really understand, okay, what am I trying to give to my audience? Because being genre bending, which is how I describe myself, is one thing, but I still want to be able to define it. So I'm more in the rock, soul, hip hop, and pop spaces.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about these next songs.
That's fire. I love how like you kind of like test the waters a little bit on TikTok and like it go crazy. And then you're like, oh, I guess I got to finish that one. And then like finish it. Like, I love that how incorporated you have your audience into your rollout and into your music making process.
Like, thank you.
When, I guess, what kind of made TikTok be the platform for you to, you know, start building an audience? And when did you kind of first notice that, like, oh, wow, this is actually kind of going crazy?
You know, before the pandemic, I would just share, prior to the pandemic, I was heading into law school, right? I was doing politics and all these different things. And when it hit, I decided not to go directly into school and to just start posting some singing videos on Instagram to try to cheer people up, right? These different singing shows reached out, so American Idol and all these different shows. And then when those things didn't ultimately pan out, I was like, they can't dictate whether or not I get to find new people. So I tried TikTok because I realized it wasn't just a dance trend app.
Yeah.
There were artists there. And within the first week, I had like 2,000 followers. And I was like, okay, this is something worth investing time and energy in. And over the next year, I remember telling my mom and my dad, I was like, this is my job. Like, it's not making money yet, but this is where opportunity is going to come from.
Yeah.
And it really has paid dividends to build community and to feel like we're all uplifting each other in the music.
Yeah. Now, when I was on your TikTok, I see like how the community you built and like how everyone is in the comments just uplifting each other, and like it's just really beautiful what you built.
Thank you.
And I guess like, what's your TikTok strategy? Because you know, there's so many artists that like don't want to do TikTok, and I feel like you've built something where it's like, nah, it's fun, it's like it's part of your brand now. So how do you approach going and incorporating TikTok into your music journey?
For sure. I think a lot of people feel embarrassed or silly posting on TikTok because they think of it as like a kids app or something. But it's the most expansive app. It's for everyone, and you can find your niche. So whether you're someone who's very specific or you think of yourself more as mainstream, you can go on there, and as long as you show up for people, that's what I always tell people, show up for them and be a value add to their life. You know, every week when I post, I want people to be like, I have to stop because this is something that I need in my life, you know, that's going to make it better. And that might feel like it's a lot to put on a piece of content, but if you think with that mentality, then you're going to put more energy into making sure it looks good or is fun or is engaging instead of just, you know, opening the camera, saying something and slapping it up.
Yeah, it makes me think like, as a TikTok creator, like when you go on TikTok, what are some stuff that you look for and what makes you kind of stop scrolling and be like, oh, I love this and like, yeah.
I think, first off, I love funny content. Yeah. Even with music, I love when someone can be a little less serious and poke fun at a situation or themselves. With more serious music or more somber or conscious music, I would say engage people with something like, is this something that's relevant to you? Bring mm-hmm. the you in and make it something that makes people feel like we're in community together and we're having the same experience.
That's fire.
What would you say? Because first off, not to put everything on you, but like I watch your videos and I'm like, the production level, the conceptualizing, it's super fire. And I would just ask, what is your process in thinking about, okay, this is the color grading I want to do, or this is the location? How do you come to that?
I love films, like, period. Like, and I love diving into some of my favorite films, like from 80s, 90s, even today. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I think Kaylee put me on, but I follow a lot of directors and DPs and their work. And I've been diving into like their whole crews. And I just, that's how I've like, so my feed is kind of like catered or curated to the type of content that I would love to consume, which are short films and films and music videos. And as a result, like that kind of goes into my process of like, now I want to make things at a higher scale, even if it's like, takes me a little bit more time. What I'm starting to unlearn though is like, yo, it's also fine to do things on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it doesn't need to be like one or the other, and like being okay with being like TikTok or like more of the short form platforms to be on my phone, and like places like YouTube and Instagram to like be more of that high quality content. So I'm still to this day learning that balance between the two.
I think that makes a lot of sense. First, I love film as well. So it's really cool to hear that. Yeah. My goal going further along is to make every release feel like a big movie's coming out, you know? Mm. And that's how I feel when I look at your videos as well. But it's interesting how artists have to continue to unlearn and relearn all the time. Yeah, yeah. We're like, okay, people want the raw stuff. And then it's like, no, they want the polish. But I think ultimately it's like, what do you want? What's going to serve your project?
Period. Yeah, because trends, you know, they come and go, and like, you know, oh, it's vertical now. It's long form. It's short form. It's real, like, they're going to come and go. But what stays is your integrity as an artist and like how you kind of navigate through those spaces and whether you choose to stay with the rules or break them, you know. And people remember that. They're like, in a time where everyone's doing the vertical, but you're like, nah, I'm gonna do a horizontal video, or like, you know, like,
right, be the thing that and that's the thing, stop people in their tracks, you know. Because people also like some form of consistency. As much as trends change, they want to be able to rely on someone who they've been sticking with and rooting for.
Yeah, period. Your stuff is so fire. Like,
thank you.
When you come to like make a record, like, what's your process? Because I know, as you said, genre bending, and it's like so many different, I say, like, you're so versatile in terms of the different avenues you can go. So when you go to like work with a producer, or you producing it yourself, like, what style or do you decide on, and how do you decide on that?
The weirdest thing is like everything is mad organic. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, things, I hear stuff in my head, you know what I mean? I'm like, this is a pattern that needs to come out. And when that happens, I have to build something around it. So I'll go and I'll snatch some violins, or I'll start playing on the MIDI and just bring it from there. That's one way. The other way, though, is when I'm on TikTok or Instagram, I can kind of sense like what the mood is right now. You know, like when I posted Quicksand, it was tragedy after tragedy that had just happened. More shootings and more people who were continuing to say they felt numb. There's a lot of nostalgia pages right now.
Yeah.
And people are getting really into them, you know, with all the sad music. And I just wanted to put something quickly on my page to say, like, I hear you, I feel you, here's my contribution to the conversation. And because people were like, please finish this song, I'm like, okay, this is Americana, this has bass, this is what the vibe of this is.
Yeah, that's fire. Yeah, and when I heard your stuff, like, I feel like you are the genre, you know, like you are the genre, like regardless of what style you want to do or what instrumentation you want to do, like your voice is the common factor upon all the instrumentation. So like, yeah, that's a good way I like to look at it.
Thank you. I've never heard that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I would ask you the same question and just follow up with, people are kind of going into, in rap and in hip hop, more of a style where it's more self-aggrandizing, it's more trendy. Mm. I think your music is very conscious and it's very like grounded. And I just ask like, how does it feel to stay that course and stay on that path while people are shifting all the time?
I mean, I just not, the audience is always last for me, period. Mm. You know, always last. If I go into a session, it got to be like, lately I've been on my 80s funk. I've been on my 80s, like listening to like the Whispers. I've been like in my bag and that's what I like. That's what I'm making. When I always think about like, how do I want to, I want to make something that means something to somebody. It's like, it got to mean something to me first.
Yes.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
So I just do the type of music that I would love to listen to.
Yes.
And do it to the best ability I can. And I try every single line I write, just make sure I audition it to be the strongest line it could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
I'll write a verse and be like, not it. Rewrite another one. If it's it, then there's a feeling you have when you know you're complacent or settling, mm-hmm. or there's a feeling to have you like, yo, this is crazy. I need to go. This four bars right here, like, I don't care if I wrote two verses before that. I need to finish this four bars right here.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you go to write a song, like, you'll look at the structure and you'll see, okay, I just need to write 16. Like, I wrote four, so write 12 more. But the way we write isn't always conducive to that. You know,
right.
Like, we'll write something and we'll write 24, and then we'll just choose the 12 that is the most striking for us or the most beneficial towards the record.
Right.
And kind of restructure the song that way. So, like, that's how I approach things, where I'm just constantly trying to make it better and better.
Mm-hmm.
But also knowing when things are complete is an intuitive feeling.
Right.
That, like, you never really know. But, like, yeah. So in terms of being conscious, like, I'm always just speaking truth.
Right.
So there's no, like, trends or, like, topics in hip hop that I'm like, oh, I need to, you know, touch on this or on that. But it's more of like, I'm just speaking about my life.
Right.
And people resonate with that sometimes.
I think the authenticity comes across really in the sound, you know.
Yeah.
And that's so interesting because there's always different approaches. First and foremost, I like to say that when I listen to these songs, it's like, okay, it's like reading a diary almost, you know.
Yeah, period.
But I do think we have a lot of similarities in regards to like film and music taste. Like, my family and I, we watch the same old movies from like the 40s, 50s, 60s over and over again. I kind of say that I was raised in older decades, right? All my music's from the 60s through the 80s.
That's
like
fire.
And it's like, it was hard to relate to people sometimes in school.
Yeah.
But it pays off now. And I think that with what you were saying, like the Whispers, I think I heard my dad say, yeah. Like,
yeah.
That's the move.
Yeah, cats don't be knowing that. Cats don't be knowing that. It's fire, yeah. Like, I want to ask you, like, who's your team? Who's currently, like, you know, when people hitting you up, when you say American Idol, all these people hitting you up, like, how are you, the emails and stuff like that, like, who's, are you kind of handling everything? Is this somebody that you're kind of, forwarding it to or looping in? Or, yeah, how does your team work right now?
It's a family business, you know. Mm. My dad's my manager, my sister and my mom support me in any way they can. But, yeah, we tag team a lot of stuff together, which can be challenging, but we get it done, you know, get all the inquiries and just get them organized and go from there.
That's fire to have, like, your family, like, super on board with what you're doing and, like, really just supporting you. Yeah, shout out to your dad that came today, for real.
Yeah, thank you. Because, like, I think they've been integral in everything I've done, you know. Even when I was gung-ho and set for, like, 12 years on being an attorney, it was like, my dad and I stay up, and I was working on mock trial and going to law camp and all this stuff. And now it's different, and it's happened very quickly. I didn't expect things to happen so fast, but everyone's just been like, okay, this is a crash course. We just got to go.
Nah, nobody going to try you, though. Nobody going to sell you no contract that look crazy.
Okay, they really won't. Even if I'm like, no, this looks good. It's like, no, it could be better.
Yeah, red line, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
What about you? And I noticed you and your manager, y'all have a really like tight friendship and relationship as well.
Yeah, nah, it's been beautiful. I started working with, I mean, honestly, like I met Kaylee like 4.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's been my team since then. Even though it's been officially like since like a year now, but mm-hmm. when we met, we were already shooting videos and was already like doing like content. And then it just kind of fostered to be part of the business side of things too. Cause I was like, yo, like I'm doing the audio, you're doing the video. That's essentially the whole brand.
Right.
And, yeah, it just felt right to have someone who super understands the film side of things, because that's like where I wanted to expand my brand to.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So with this, like, not to be super meta, but like with this podcast,
right?
How did that idea come to be?
It came like with the need for transparency, especially in the music industry. Like I would have conversations with my friends, you know, whether it be at studio sessions, we'd just be chilling. And it would be similar to this, like right. We were just kicking them, like giving discussions, and it's like, or like somebody would hit me up and it would be like, I'm giving them advice and it's like something that I want everybody to know about. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it just came like, I would have like 2-3 hour conversations with people. And I was like, damn, I wish I recorded that. Like that was fire. You know what I mean? So it'd be like, it came from that, just wanting to discuss with other independent artists, like, what does self-care look like? What does mm-hmm. ethical business practices look like? How do you create your sound, you know? And as a result, we learn from each other and building a platform where other people know that this lifestyle is accessible. Like, right. You know what I mean? Where you don't need to sign to a label. You don't need to, you know, give away all your rights. You can own everything and still be valid in the music industry.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. You brought up self-care, which I think gets thrown around a lot,
yeah,
you know, but people don't really define it. What is your self-care?
I mean, my self-care is like, I gotta make sure I'm moving my body. I gotta make sure I'm like seeing sunlight. I gotta make sure like I'm in terms of like finding community, you know, especially in LA where, you know, everyone's 30, 40, 50 minutes away from each other, mm-hmm. like finding clubs. And like, I'm in like a running club now. I'm like doing yoga in the park, like
yeah.
stuff that I wasn't doing in New York, like, because the wellness is just a lot more accessible out here, I mm-hmm. feel like. So I'm like eating good, making sure I'm like eating good meals and stuff like that. So that's what self-care looks like to me. And just making sure that those appointments that I have with myself are super important.
Right.
And like don't need to be rescheduled for something else that might be quote unquote more important.
Right.
So say I have a meeting or like a session or something like that, and I'm like, I haven't moved. I'm like, yo, can we do 30? Can we do an hour later? You know what I mean?
Because
you know what I mean? I gotta, you know, move my body, because I know that I'll be able to show up for myself and for the session at a higher level if I'm able to take care of myself prior.
That's what's up.
Yeah. What about you? What does self-care look like to you?
I'm just getting to the point, I think, where I'm allowed to do that a little bit. First off, I really love old shows, old movies, those sorts of things. And I love to get into them and dive into them. So I like to take a little time and watch my comfort things. I love to bake. So, you know, I'm always harassing my family, like, try this cookie, try this, do whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I definitely agree on the exercise part. Like, we have a treadmill and a bike, and I try to get on those and listen to my music and shutting everything out, you know. And then quality time with my friends as well. Especially now that everyone's getting deeper into their careers, we try to get out to do something fun together at least a couple times a month, because that time is so precious, and I'm super extroverted. So I need to recharge that battery as much as possible. That's why the pandemic was so hard.
period. Let's get into the baking though. Like, what you be baking? Like, what's some of the recipes you trying to get to the world?
I think chai sugar cookies.
Period.
Best one. My friend Rachel, she just was on tour, and I baked some for her, and I came backstage, and her whole crew ate them. So I feel like that's the best thing right now.
I bet. When I pull up to Atlanta, I'm about to slide.
No, like, come through there. I'll make some.
Yeah. Fire. Yeah, so you from Atlanta. Like, how is it, like, growing up in your community?
I am very proud to be from Atlanta. I'm wearing ATL colors right now. Red, white, and black, okay?
Lit.
and I feel like it's a very special experience to grow up somewhere that's such a young city that has taken the world by storm so quickly. You know, it wasn't even as relevant until the 90s, and it has grown exponentially every year. And I feel like that's the trajectory I want to be on. So I'm trying to mirror my city, you know, and I always try to lift it up wherever I can. I'm from Stone Mountain, which is, we always say MARTA is our public transportation. So it's like anything MARTA touches is Atlanta. And growing up in Stone Mountain and Clarkston and Atlanta, where there are hundreds of countries represented in such a small area, it also meant a lot as someone who does have a lot of communities on my back to see other people carrying so many intersections with them as well, and to try to invite people into the conversation, which is what I try to do through my music. So I think ATL is a big part of my musical DNA as well.
Fire. Yeah. How you feel like you take up space, you know?
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. I think I've noticed since I put on hijab, especially as a kid, when I walk in a room, I can't blend in, you know? So if you stand out, you got to stand out, you know? And you have to decide if you're going to do that in a positive or a negative way, because it's very easy to give into the negativity, into the bullying, and just decide you're going to, like, push people aside. But my goal, since I saw people kind of drifting from me, who I loved and no one cared about, I realized that I needed to start inviting other people literally to the table. If someone was sitting by themselves, be like, you come sit with me, you come sit with my folks, we're gonna make this thing work. And I've really carried that into my life now. It's just always been a part of who I am. So when I write and when I make music and when I show up and meet new people, I try to be the person who is gonna make you feel special, you know, because you are, you know, and who's gonna make other people see what's special about you. And I think that takes up space.
Period. Like, I was like, nah, the way you be answering these questions, I'm just like, it's like ChatGPT, just like, just answered it. It was so fire.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wait, no, wait. AI. But
yeah, for real, for real.
Oh my gosh. How do you feel about AI and how it's been in the music space?
I view it as a blessing in certain ways. Like, there's certain, like, say I'm like, I've used it for like treatments, I've used it for like certain like pitching stuff, like stuff that I don't want to write. I've used it for, you know. But I also see how it could be like detrimental as well. Right. So for like people who, especially if it's like taken away from people's jobs and stuff like that. And like even what's going on right now with the strike, like, and like AI is like the main like driver for that, or one of the main drivers for that, with like using AI to write scripts, right, you know, and like that's really detrimental to people's like whole foundation of how they survive. So if it's allowed to be like regulated in a way that can still allow people to have their jobs that they survive on, like, I think it's definitely a good advancement.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think I've been very anti, but that's because it's hard because I see the benefits,
right?
But it's going at such a scary pace for me. It's like people's bodies being scanned and then they're generated crazy in all of these different episodes of shows. People are making songs that sound just like Ariana Grande, just like The Weeknd, all this stuff, and then distributing it, and there's no law, you know? That's what scares me, how I don't want to end up in a dystopian society where people are automated out of jobs, you know, and automated out of the creativity that they've lived on and found a way to make a living off of. So I guess exactly what you were saying, if there can be some regulation, then it could really be beneficial as long as it stays kind of where it is and doesn't leap ahead of
exactly. Yeah, it's been so scary, honestly. And I have moments where I'm diving into it, and I have moments that I forget it exists, you know, because I'm like, I don't want to almost give it too much information. I feel like especially with ChatGPT, I know all the information you give to it is like data that they are collecting. So it's like, exactly. I'm not really trying to say anything in that like would be sensitive or information or anything like that. So,
right.
Yeah.
I've been, have it write new songs and be like, this is a new Akinyemi single.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a little bit wary on it as well. Yeah.
But I think, in a more positive direction on that, I do think that we can take advantage of certain aspects, like exactly what you were saying. Mm. And as independent artists who have to do every job,
literally,
make our lives a teeny bit easier, yeah. In order to make it in this industry.
Yeah. There's certain tools I've seen with AI, like say, for example, like cutting up a podcast interview and mm-hmm. making it into 30-second clips, you know, or something like that, that is would take a very tedious job that nobody want to do. And like, put it on, allow an independent artist who doesn't have an editor they can hire to post a bunch of content. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's very beneficial.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like even on the audio side of things, where you can take a piece of like sound that has a lot of noise in the background and it'll just take it out and stuff like that. Like I've seen those tools, like, okay, that's very dope that AI has been able to advance to that point where we can just use it in our benefit to help our own craft. But and it's always been a tool with a human at the forefront mm-hmm. to help steer the nuance of the program.
Right, right. That makes sense.
All right, so you was on Becoming a Pop Star mm-hmm. and you know, as a viewer, I'm just like, you see what's on TV, but you don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. Like, how was it being a contestant?
Right.
And, you know, how did they select you? What was the whole process of from start to finish, really?
Yeah, it was really unique, I think, from a lot of the other shows that I've been auditioned for. So it came from TikTok. Right. Mm. After that year, when I was telling my parents, I was like, this is my job. It'll work out. You know, at the end of the year, around November, that day I had a conversation with my parents. I was like, I'm doing all this. I don't know what it's for. I went upstairs to my phone and I got hit up by a casting director. And he was saying that he's casting a show from MTV, TikTok and Pepsi called Becoming a Pop Star. And he wanted to know if I'd be interested in auditioning. From that point, I think that has been really an example of how things actually go in this industry, because that process took 4 months wow. of auditioning. And it was like they wanted to hear a song snippet immediately. I didn't have anything. I was brand new, you know, so I had to write something, record it into the camera, send it. They were like, no, we want to hear something more like this. Had to write something else, send that.
Wow.
Then they wanted headshots. I did an interview. They wanted full body shots of like different outfits and my aesthetic. It was going, interviewing with the stylist, all this stuff. Then they got it down to 10 of us. And they were like, 7 of you will make it to the show. No, it was 15 of us. 7 of us will make it to the show. They sent us all phone cameras and they were like, you have 2 days to write a song about your hometown, film a video and send it in. And we're going to tell y'all. And the next day, 70 of y'all will fly out here.
Crazy.
For the show. So it was like all these things where once I talked to the other contestants, they were telling me, you know, their team did this, or, you know, oh, I had this in the bank, or I co-wrote this. And it was like, you know, which I think is great because they were all further along in their careers. I was very new. Mm. And when I did get selected and I got there, it became really real for me because I'm like, no matter what I write, this is going on television.
Word.
So it's got to be good because there's never been a TV show in America, at least, where every week you're writing a new song. And I don't think they expected me to stay till the end because they didn't know what the heck I was going to write.
Right.
But every week I felt more powerful because I'd get a new producer that day, I'd be working on the track. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to write this. I'm going to come back, record this. Then the next day you had to meet with the director, get a treatment done. And then the next day meet with the stylist and then film and then get judged. And it was go, 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 go.
Wow.
But from that experience, that life altering experience, I recognized, okay, this is something people want to hear. Because every week they would vote for fan favorite and I won every week, you know? And it was like, okay, that's where the momentum really started, where it was like, I must release full music right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It was insane. But I loved it, but it was like, it was work, you know?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I can imagine. If you got hit up to do another show like that again, would you hop on board?
You know, I appreciate the invitations. I think, though, at this point, it's more important for me to continue organically. That show was so unique, I needed to do it. But the value for me has been every day gaining like 5, 10, 15 people who are invested in what I make already and not like covering someone else's song.
Period. Yeah. Nah, your original music is so crazy. It's like, I'm so hyped for us to work. And
thank you. Yeah. I'm excited to work because I think that, like I said earlier, you know, your style is so different and the topics you touch on are very important for today. Mm. And also, you know, I love to rap. I don't get as many opportunities right now to make tracks that are singing and full rapping, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy because I actually been singing more. So like maybe you rap and I sing.
Meet in the middle. Like, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Have some combined choruses.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, so how do you structure your rollouts? Like, because I noticed, like, with Work to the Morning, you was pushing every day with something new. I was like, let's go. Like, how many videos you got in the bank? Like, what did your drafts look crazy? Like, what are
my drafts look insane. I have like 3,000 drafts right now.
Wow.
Like, and I've taken like a couple of weeks off because even though I know you take a little algorithm hit, I needed to focus on the records. Because my goal is, my philosophy is just like, if I am inspired by the music, if the music matters, I'm going to work until everyone who could possibly hear it could hear it. Mm. So what I would advise people to do is to make at least 10, 15 pieces of content just to start, to see what will stick, you know, for your rollout. And make it something, again, undeniable. You don't have a lot of money. I didn't have like a big old budget for that. You have to make it look as important for the moment as possible.
Period.
And then be like, okay, here's why you should listen to this song. Make it a movement. Make it a moment.
Yeah. What do those 10 to 15 pieces of content look like?
I think it can be a combination. For me, sometimes I do self-filming. Sometimes I will have no faces or other people's videos. You can ask people permission. Mm. There's a lot of different ways that you can grab content that is already engaging. If you don't have a whole lot of resources for yourself, you can still make it happen.
Fire. Yeah, that's sick. Yeah. So when you was making like, say, Work to the Morning or like Quicksand, for example, like, and you're getting ready to release it, like, what are some, like, because I know like there's like buckets. So say like you have different types of content. Like, what are some of those different types of content you find yourself gravitating to for your audience? Mm-hmm. And like, what are some that, you know, always work and you kind of always fall back on?
One that people shouldn't sleep on is, even though this is not posting, is lives. I have to do them more. Really have to do them more, but that live audience, the people who show up, those are fans. You know what I'm saying? Those are people who, you know, you're developing somewhat of a friendship with because they show up for you every day and you try to make their day a little better and they will remember that release is coming, you know?
Yeah.
To support that content with your short form, you want to have the raw, like we were talking about, meeting in the middle. You want to have the raw, you want to have the things that are just you in the camera, but then you also want to take it outside and make it an experience, which is what I think you already are very good at. So just meet in the middle and make people feel like I'm just a person engaging with you and I'm a star with these videos.
Period. Yeah. Nah. Just getting like more comfortable, like, literally just being on my selfie camera, like just being on my back camera and just really like, and rapping the verse that way in the car versus, you know, a high production music video and being able to connect with both. Because they're going to connect with different people, you know. There's going to be the people that like, oh, that's too inaccessible. They're too Hollywood. And then you do the phone and you're like, oh, yeah, I could do that. You know what I mean?
So
finding the balance between that is super important.
Yeah, definitely. Like, and it can be fun, but it's also like, you got to be really type A about it and be willing to stay up and just, which I'm sure, you know, you already do, stay up and edit and just be really focused on the details.
Yeah. So like when it comes to like the TikTok content, like You be doing like the, you know, you be editing the joints in the TikTok app with the text and all that, and like doing the timeline and all that. Cause like that be, it be so tedious.
I
bro.
Know
like,
it is. Oh my gosh. The worst thing when you're editing text in the app is when you finish it and your phone freezes or
something. Nah, don't say that. Don't say
it's
that.
It's a hot mess because I had a video.
Phone across the room, son.
And if that video doesn't perform well, I have to log out for the day because yeah. I'm like, y'all don't know. Just text alone.
I was like, you did 3,000 of those? I was like, yo, wow.
Man, it's crazy. Yeah. I do like that the tools are a little better now with the slides and stuff. Right. And they are I love that TikTok is constantly like trying to improve the interface in a way that I think a lot of apps don't, you know?
When you say slides, you mean like photos?
Like you can, well, you can, yeah, you can do the photos, but then also like with the text, now you can go in the in-app advanced editor and, you know, you can just pinch the words and stuff instead of having to be like, okay, this is point two, this is da-da-da-da.
I don't say that,
yeah.
Yeah. Nah, so I didn't know that, cool. So learn something new every day. Yeah.
No, it's really cool, but like,
that's fire.
You gotta have your favorite outside apps like to edit in and all that stuff and just know what this video's message is and how polished it needs to be.
Do you have any like favorite outside apps that you kind of see yourself kind of gravitating towards?
I tell everybody get Vlo, V-L-L-O, because I want everybody to use this app. Right. You know, I think that they just for, especially if you're a beginner or advanced, you can find something for you in there that will help you just elevate the video a little bit.
I heard that, Vlo. Yeah.
Sponsor. Let me.
Yeah.
Give me a free subscription.
Period.
Man, I would like to ask, you had one video. I can't, which one was that? It was in the sepia tone, in that kind of outdoor barn-ish area.
Oh, the early days?
I thought it was early days. Okay, but I didn't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
What was the process like of like scouting that, of getting your look, everything like that?
So, me and Kaylee was in Colorado at the time. It was like the middle of quarantine. It must have been like April or May 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like in this, we passed this like old gold mine. We just drive by it like on the way. We're in the mountains in Colorado and we're like, yo, that's fire. And like, and I had this song that I'm writing already, like, and I'm talking about early days. And then I see this gold mine, which is like from the early days. And I'm like, oh, we got to do it there. And then like, so we end up coming back. I like was writing the song on the way to where we staying.
Wow.
Literally recorded it that night. Next day, and then that after I recorded it that night, I think we made like a shot list or a treatment of like what we wanted to do. And then the day after, went to the gold mine. It's the middle of quarantine, so like it really feel like that area, which normally would be a touristy area, you know, they're giving tours of the gold mine and doing all that, barren.
It's deserted.
No one is there.
Yeah.
So we're like, pull up with like a tripod and we like learn. That was the video. We kind of learned how to rotoscope and learn how to do like multiple Akinyemis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was like such a pain to edit because this like the sun was changing and you know, like there's multiple Akinyemis and like the sun looks a little different in that frame and that. I'm like, oh. So we like really learned a big crash course in color grading and in VFX for that one. And so a lot of our stuff is like that, though. It's very like we kind of come up with the concept of the video while we're location scouting,
right.
While we're like, oh, nah, like that fits what we're doing. And then we just, act on it, you know, edit it and then put it out. Yeah.
That is so cool. Like, I think my question would be, I'm trying to get to the other end, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, you know, every day things change, but my community, I feel like it's gotten to a point where I can push forward more.
Yeah.
And I want to get to that point where I can stop somewhere or I can make the videos are a little more elevated. But I'm looking at, you know, equipment and all this stuff and it's so expensive and it seems so like out of touch, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out like what are good beginner things to get? What are good cameras and software pieces that you can try.
I mean, I always recommend the Fujifilm cameras because like they're, because you can do both stills and video.
That's what's up, yeah.
And like Oil Leak was, you know, shot all on the Fujifilm, and like just the quality that you're able to, because I really love film, like 60 millimeter film, but it's so expensive to process. So to get that like film look, I think, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a ballpark price, but it's like maybe like $1,000 to $1,500 and you really just need like maybe one lens, like a zoom or like a 40 mil lens.
Yeah, my goal is to eventually get to the point where I'm making every release feel like a major motion picture coming out. You know, I want it to feel like trailers are coming, like there's lore around it, all of these different things, and involve people in different mediums. But it starts with me being able to elevate. So I do appreciate that recommendation.
Fujifilm is dope, man. They really been, and also the way that they support their creators in terms of, they have like different competitions and they give away like free cameras. They give away, you know, you could just submit your work and like be able to get a grant or stuff like that. So it's really cool on how they've been supporting creators. Like, so with Fujifilm, like there's different cameras that like fit different budgets and like, you know, different production needs, you know what I mean? So yeah, you'll definitely be able to find one that works for you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to definitely go for that.
Yeah, so what are some of the performances you've been doing recently, and like what are some of the stuff you got coming up?
Yeah, so I performed at 2 different Eid Fests for this year. I also performed at the Women's Day at Georgia Pacific. And then I have a festival coming up, the Pepsi Dig In Festival, that's supporting Black-owned restaurants and businesses. And I have a acoustic set here in September.
Oh, fire. Yeah, I'm gonna have to pop out for that.
I'm gonna make sure to hit you up for sure.
Yeah, fire.
It's been really surreal because literally this time last year, I was getting off the show and I remember I was talking to one of my other castmates who was further along, and her team like had set up some sessions out here. And I was like, what is a session? Y'all keep saying that. How do you get to that point? Me and my family, me and my dad especially, you know, we are always trying to figure out what the next move is.
Yeah.
But it's like when you don't even know the definitions, like how do you do it?
Yeah.
So the growth from then to now, having released songs, done performances, being sought out, and now this relaunch coming with the updated sound has been really exciting for both of us.
That's fire. How do you approach sessions? Like, what does a typical Amir Unplugged session look like?
I think I'm always writing. I write every morning, every evening, and I'm always thinking about like, okay, what elements I want to bring to the table, whether it's orchestral or pop or rock. And so I want to go into the session thinking of what makes that producer special, what makes that person special, and what sparkle they can add to it. So like Amber Ryan, big shout out to her. She started Underrated Artist Season, which I joined last year, and they invited me to come out. And I remember that she's very good at rock and very good at pop. So we went more in that direction, and I'm really excited about that song. That'll come out later this year. And the songs we were working on Monday and different things like that, they are more in her wheelhouse. Going back to what I talked about before, what is it that brings, what is it that person's light, what brings them joy, and what would they be excited about working on?
That's dope. Yeah, really meeting the producer where they at, and just like bringing whatever their strengths is out, and like, meeting them. Yeah,
exactly, exactly. Don't like fit a square peg in a round hole kind of thing.
I'm excited for what you got coming up.
Thank you.
And anything you want to let the people know before we out?
Well, first, y'all will hear one of our singles, absolutely, coming soon.
Period. Thank you so much for coming on
Sack
and Yummy's Living Room.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I can't wait to hear your new music.
Let's get it.